This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting, in the second week of July, 2024. Thank you for tuning in. For me, an honor, a privilege to address you on the report, a weekly briefing where we bring you this week's religious liberty news. While America is not a theocracy, does not have a state religion, America is deeply shaped by Christian moral truths. We know that our rights come from God, not from government. Religious freedom, a founding principle of our nation. Religious freedoms are enshrined in our Constitution. Religious liberty, the first freedom of the United States. First, not just because it's the First Amendment, but because it's a logical priority. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, second week of July, 2024. Reporting this week on the video that we've seen, all of us, 1,000 times. An impact event. One that we're never going to forget. An impact event is actually an example of what the resurrection was to the apostles and the disciples. An event so dramatic that there is forever a before and an after. You may not remember what you had for breakfast this morning, but you'll always remember an impact event. A core memory. An event that may have happened 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. But you remember it still today. For many, it was the day Kennedy was shot in Dallas, Texas in 1963. For others, it's where were you when the second plane hit the tower? You'll remember where you were and what happened when you heard. And it's very likely that we'll all remember where we were and what happened when we heard that former President Trump had been shot. This is actually an apologetic for the resurrection of Jesus, because it answers the questions of how a scattered, scared, skeptical band of disciples abandoned their ancient religious beliefs and adopted a new religion, a new belief, virtually overnight. Laying the foundations for what became the most successful evangelical, peaceful missionary force in the history of the world. Why? Why? Well, simply because they witnessed an impact event, creating a core memory. The man, Jesus of Nazareth, who they knew, had followed and seen for 3 years of his ministry, had been murdered, crucified on the cross. But then he came back to life. Did miracles for a period of over 40 days. You're not going to forget something like that. You'll have no trouble remembering what Jesus said, what he did. So that's an impact event, the core memory. So that's what this assassination attempt in Pennsylvania was, for many of us, an impact event. I refer to Pastor Frank Turek on his podcast, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Frank Turek, the assassination attempt, he asks some questions that we all need to answer about the assassination attempt. First, why did this happen? I mean, not just logistically at the sites and all. We'll get to that. But why do humans in general murder people? Why do we need a Secret Service to protect politicians? Why? Well, we all know why. Because of the depravity of man. Because we're evil. Because our hearts are deceitful. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, we read, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly corrupt. Who can know it?" Yes, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, our hearts are corrupt. Our hearts are deceitful. Our heart wants what it wants when it wants it. We are bent toward evil. It's easy to be bad. It's hard to be good. The reason we need a government, the reason we need police, the reason we need an army, a navy, an air force, a marine corps, the reason we need protection, the reason we need Secret Service is because the central teaching of the Christian worldview is that men are bent toward evil, that we're basically evil and it's easy to be bad, hard to be good. And this is a unique teaching of the Christian worldview, really. Other faiths and religions, worldviews, don't teach this. It is mostly unique to the Christian worldview that men are viewed as bent toward evil. James Madison, a founding father of our Constitution of this great land, said, "If men were angels, no government would be necessary." Well, of course, if we were all sinless, we wouldn't need a Secret Service. We wouldn't even need government, for that matter. We wouldn't even need laws, or protection, or police, armies, or Secret Service. We wouldn't need any of this. But we need it. Why? Because the Bible gets it right again. We're bent toward evil. One scholar theorizes that there are three main reasons for murder. Number one, sex. Number two, money. Or number three, power. Sex, money, or power. The three things that can motivate people to murder. Why? Because even though sex, money, and power can be good things. In fact, they're good that God created and made them. But they're so good that sinless man will often take shortcuts to get them and will do evil, seeking the shortcuts to get what would otherwise be good things given by God. Under the category of power, we could find such things as political authority, prestige, recognition, special treatment, special access, being in on things, being seen as someone, someone on the inside, someone people want to know and emulate, to be a celebrity, to have fame, attention, to be seen as an expert. Being first, that's what people want. They want to be first. They want power. But Jesus said, "The first will be last, and the last will be first." And we know that our nature, the human nature, goes against what Jesus said. Our entire constitution as human beings, our nature goes against what Jesus wants us to be. That's why we need to be conformed to the image of Jesus. It takes work. It often takes pain and suffering. What could have motivated the shooter to have done this? Well, really, we just don't know, because the shooter is dead. They're investigating it now, of course. From every angle, all sorts of data will come out. But we really don't know at this point what motivated the shooter. We don't have all the details, but we know this. When someone commits a murder, it's because of one of those three motivators: sex, money, or power. The Bible points this out directly. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, we read, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, sex, the lust of the eyes, money, and the pride of life, power, come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Now, to be clear, it's okay to acquire these things and even use them appropriately in their proper context. But when they're put above God or above people, then they become sin. We don't know why the shooter did this, but judging from what we're seeing, it seems like the shooter would want to see a politician murdered for desires of sex, money, or power, thinking that by killing a politician, in this case Donald Trump, they may somehow be advancing their quest for sex, money, or power. In his lust for sex, money, or power, he would rather see someone murdered so that he could get his way. But ladies and gentlemen, we know that this is much more than just human beings disagreeing with one another. This is mostly what is known as spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is more about truth than power. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, we read that we should demolish arguments and take every thought captive to Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and evil spirits. I mean, for people to actually say that they'd rather see someone murdered so that they can get what they want at the ballot box, so that they can get their guy in, this shows you this goes beyond just human beings. There's obviously spiritual activity, demonic spiritual activity. It shows, again, the depravity of man, that we're bent toward evil and will murder to get what we want. It also, by the way, shows that there's an objective standard of right and wrong. And we can only have this if God exists. I mean, why is murder wrong? Why is it wrong to incite violence? Many in the media have called Trump Hitler. This begs the question, why was Hitler wrong? I mean, if you're going to call Trump Hitler, you must think that Hitler was wrong, right? Well, if there is no God, no absolute standard of right and wrong, why was Hitler wrong to do what he did? Without a God, there is no right and wrong. Nothing is right or wrong. There is no objective standard. It all comes down to your opinion or mine. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, the second week of July 2024, talking about right and wrong. God is the grounding of righteousness and of goodness. Without God, there is no right. There is no wrong. There's no good. There's no evil. There's no justice or injustice. Everything is a matter of opinion, and even atheists like Richard Dawkins would agree with this. You see, ladies and gentlemen, they're assuming a moral standard, when in their own worldview, they have no way of justifying this moral standard, because they don't even believe in God. Another question, what went wrong with security at the site? Well, as of the second week of July 2024, the Religious Liberty Report can't tell you exactly what went wrong because we still don't know. There's going to be an investigation, but people who have worked in security, who have worked as Secret Service agents, as snipers, even those who haven't had such experience know that there was a massive breach of security to let this happen, to not protect Trump immediately when the shooter was discovered, before he got off the first shot. Because reports are coming out, if they're accurate. Again, investigations are going to review this, but when we see video of people yelling and telling cops, there's a guy on the roof. And apparently a police officer even went up there. If the report is true that an officer saw this guy with a gun, that the shooter turned the gun on the cop and the cop then dropped back to the ground. Well, if this is at all true, this would add another layer to the analysis. According to a U.S. congressman, Corey Mills, who was a former sniper in the U.S. military, local police should have said something immediately, and Trump would have been taken off the stage before a shot was ever fired. Congressman Mills reported on a talk show how this kind of shot was a basic training boot camp soldier shot. I found it intriguing. Let's take a listen to Representative Corey Mills explaining what was, at the end of the day, a basic training boot camp soldier exercise. One of the easiest shots that they train in the U.S. Army.
Let's bring in Florida Congressman and former U.S. Army sniper, Corey Mills. What kind of shot was this, Corey, from 130 yards?
Look, at the end of the day, this is a shot that your basic training boot camp soldier is requested to make within their 9-week period. This is one of the easiest shots, and they train all the way out till 300 or 500. And when I was doing the counter sniper, it wasn't with the United States Army. It was actually when I was with the State Department and was doing this exact thing, which is trying to look at going out with an advance team, establishing what the perimeter is. And then as a sniper, when you would set up, you'd put together your range sketch or your range fan cards. And that would tell you where your 100, your 200, your 300, and you'd identify the area of threat that you would be able to mitigate. And if there's multiple targets, you understand that your elevation and windage knob wouldn't have to be messed with, especially at 160 yards. You could literally just look quickly, glance, and know from the reference point, whether it be a building, whether it be a lone tree, whether it be a parking lot, maybe it's a road. Bottom line is that this is massive negligence to the point of me speculating on what was intentional and what wasn't.
Wow. When you're doing a site survey and you're seeing this rooftop not that far away, why did it look like the counter sniper team was a little surprised?
You know, I can only speculate, and we'll have to wait until the investigation comes out, that they thought local law enforcement was potentially climbing up onto the roof when they saw a dark object on a light roof. But here's the issue.
Wait, wait, wait. You're saying maybe they misconstrued Crooks for a friendly, for local law enforcement?
It's very possible. I don't want to speculate until the investigation is over, but the bottom line is that if you saw someone climbing onto a roof that you hadn't authorized any clearance on, it's got a clear line of sight. It's exactly adjacent to the shooting where the president was sitting, and you're talking about a pop shot, and you got people yelling, and there should have been comms. The minute that that local law enforcement, who apparently had a rifle pointed on, there should have been an emergency frequent comms channel that they could have said, we have a shooter on the roof, shooter on the roof. Secret Service should have rushed the stage and immediately took the president and took him off and then responded to the counter sniper. The shot should not have gone off. That is the failure in itself. You're supposed to be able to try, you know, the best security is when you go in and you're actually able to prevent an incident, not react to an incident. Even if you would have left a law enforcement officer's patrol car in that parking lot with the lights on, that could have been a deterrent. But when you have nothing that is actually showing force protection, you're encouraging this. Look, I'm not sure about who the individuals are on the individual detail Secret Service, but I can tell you under this Biden administration, the one thing I've seen is massive DEI hires. And I can tell you, when you primarily go after DEI, you end up with DIE.
So when you have these counter snipers waiting until 8 rounds are fired, what accounts for that?
To be honest with you, the
first shot, you get a return fire immediately?
The minute that a shot rang out, they should have already been on scope. Your spotter should have already have called the distance if you hadn't looked at your range card, and you should have immediately engaged. There should have been no reason to have waited a single second. Now, I talked to Eric Trump after the incident. Eric and I are both gun enthusiasts. We both shoot long distance. That right there is a pop shot. But he did say, I've gone out with the CS teams, and they are one of the best. He knows the service detail that's with them. They are loyal individuals who actually do care about the president. I can say that was relate to me, but the bottom line is this is a massive security breach. This is a huge failure at negligence is at best, but we have to figure out why something within 200 yards. Think about this, Jesse, 200 yards. That means that an average rifle that holds 1 minute of angle would hold a 2-inch grouping if you just shot it straight off the deck, meaning on a platform. So now you're talking about 160, which is 1.6 inches is what its grouping capabilities are. The average head is what, 6x8, shoulder to shoulder is 20 inches, head to waist is 40 inches, and President Trump's a very large man. This is a shot that within 5 minutes I could teach you to make 9 out of 10 times. So this is divine intervention. This is the God having his protective hand and wearing Ephesians 6, the armor of God, over the president, because this right here, a millisecond or a millimeter and change, and this isn't an attempted assassination. This is an assassination of a president.
The devil was in Butler, Pennsylvania, but so was God.
Well, and I can say one more thing, if I may, which is that let us also remember that King Henry II went in and said, can no one rid me of this turbulent priest? And his knights went out and killed the Archbishop of Canterbury because they thought that was a direct order. What do you say when President Biden says, it's time to put a target on Trump? That, in my opinion, is the insightful rhetoric. That's the stuff that they would have went after for the J6 stuff. So why don't we have our own J13 investigation?
Yeah, there needs to be a full investigation on this. Absolutely. And it needs to not be crooked like some of these other former investigations were.
That's right.
Politicians. Mills, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. A pop shot. Divine intervention. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, second week of July, 2024. Talking about that emergency frequency that they all have access to in police work, military, even aviation, maritime. A frequency where if there's an emergency, they come on that frequency and everyone who has a radio hears it. Doesn't matter what frequency you're on, you hear it. So if it's true, and we're still getting the details, why did they not use such a frequency to alert everyone? If it's true that this police officer saw this guy on the roof, he could have gone to the equivalent of this frequency and said, shooter on the roof! Shooter on the roof! That would have prompted immediately that the Secret Service pulled Trump off the stage, probably before any shots were fired. Why wasn't this done? Well, we don't know. Some, as we just heard, are citing DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. And it did appear that some of these Secret Service people struggled at the moment, one with her weapon, another with her sunglasses. Were these DEI hires? Protecting the former president?
Why was there a woman trying to shield Trump on the stage when he stood a foot taller than she? If there was a second shooter, he could have been hit in the head simply because she was too short to cover him. It makes sense to have taller, more muscular men, bigger than the president, to shield him. This is not the place or time for a social experiment. And what about men protecting women? And women shouldn't be protecting men. This is a basic teaching of Christianity. By the way, men and women are equal in essence. Other religions and worldviews do not abide by the equality of the essence of the sexes. But Christianity and common sense, frankly, also teaches the obvious truth that men and women are also different in what they can and can't do. And men, most of the time, are stronger, taller, more muscular than women. I mean, God forbid if Trump had to be dragged out of there and a woman, maybe half his weight, couldn't have done that. Why are we playing with social programs on such important jobs and in life or death situations? It's no different than United Airlines coming out and saying, we are going to hire half of our pilots based on diversity, equity, and inclusion, you know, by such and such a date. The obvious answer is no. You put the most qualified people in the cockpit. You pick the most qualified pilots. And this is true for the president's detail, security detail as well. Some are calling for a stop to all this DEI nonsense. You're going to get people killed. Now, to be clear, that's not to say that there might not be some great women Secret Service agents out there. But these people who are guarding the president need to be able to guard the president. And if their physical capabilities don't allow this to happen, they should not be there. Some are calling for the director of the Secret Service to resign or be fired. One comparison that I heard was that in the Navy, if you're the captain of a ship, you could be asleep in your stateroom, but if your navigator runs the ship aground, you're done. You're out. This is life and death. The same thing is true here. A final question. Did God directly protect President Trump? Of course, there's no way to know if God physically intervened, like moving the bullet, or maybe it was a miracle where God overpowered a natural law. But maybe it was just divine providence where God was working through natural events. We don't know for sure because God hasn't revealed it. But the Bible does talk about guardian angels and the power of prayer. And ladies and gentlemen, we know that Trump has been prayed for a lot. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report in the second week of July, 2024. Psalm 22, verse 28. God rules over the nations. God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.